Hello, my name is Vilma Enriquez Haas, and the title of my presentation is Latino Immigrant Male Day Laborers and How They Access Healthcare, specifically their utilization of usual source of care. And I do not have any relationships to any commercial interests to disclose. The objectives of my presentation are to examine how Latino male immigrant day laborers access healthcare, and to assess their general health status and their health needs, and to identify what are the factors that predict their access to a usual source of care. Some background about day laborers. Day laborers are a very intricate part of the economy, and they're usually very involved in the construction industry and other parts of the industry. And most day laborers are Latino male immigrants in general. Even though we found, this is a national sample, we found here in Washington, D.C., that some day laborers were from Africa, and they came with master's degrees, very highly educated, and we had to take them out of the sample because they were outliers. We wanted to focus on the population of Latino immigrants. Many of them are unauthorized, that means they are undocumented, to work here in the United States. And then, in general, they experience poor living conditions and workplace hazards. What happens sometimes, and especially in LA, I don't know how it is here in DC or other parts of the nation, but there are many in one apartment, like 10 or 15, and now with the economy, I heard even 20 sharing one apartment because they have to pay about $150 per rent so that they can survive and they can still send money to their family. Many of them do not understand about personal protective equipment when they work in construction or when they do any type of work. And now with the construction industry's recession, they have really suffered. Many of them, they are saying that about 70% of day laborers are not finding jobs in the construction industry. And very little is known right now about their patterns of access to health services. So day laborers, I don't know if you're familiar with day laborers, but they are everywhere, and they are congregating usually and around Home Depot or locations around cities. They have multiple employers, and they are working, but they do not receive health insurance. And the national population is estimated to be 120,000 of them, even though it seems very small, but because they are very just visible. This is the theoretical framework. I'm using the Anderson's theoretical framework, and I'm taking into account the social environment, which are the policies, immigrant health policies and occupational policies, and then the populational traits of the immigrants themselves, of Latino day laborers, which they have the predisposing characteristics, which includes demographics, their age, their knowledge, their health beliefs about seeking care, enabling our, if they have health insurance, their income, and I also included marriage as an enabling factor because sometimes you can get access to health insurance through marriage. And the health need, I included variables on measurements on if they had any occupational hazards, their age too, and again, and their self-perceived health conditions, and also some of them reported chronic conditions. And their behavior itself is the use of healthcare, and the outcome is their health status. And the methodology I used, is a national day labor survey. We were able to do a national, it's almost national, cross-sectional sample, and 2,660 day laborers there throughout the nation. And we used structured face-to-face interviews that lasted about 30 minutes, and it was conducted by UCLA Center for Study of Urban Poverty. And we were able to get a lot of money from the Rockefeller Foundation to do this study. I don't think we would be able to do it now, given the current condition. And then the samples, so you can have an idea, most day laborers are young. The documented day laborers tend to be a little older because they've been here a little longer. Undocumented are 32, and the average is 34 years. Most of them have very little education, 7 years. Many of them have no formal education, and this is among the Latino group. There were some other ones, as I mentioned, that were more educated, and documented day laborers tend to be slightly more educated. Most of them come from Mexico, as more than half Mexico, and then the rest from Central America. And you could see the impact of policies such as Nicaragua has a policy of NACARA, and they will provide them some working permits. So if they have a working permit, or people from El Salvador, they tend to do other type of work. People from Guatemala, they don't have any policy, so you can see it's a little bigger, so it's an impact on policy. And the immigration status of many of them have been, they're recent immigrants. The mean is 7 years being in the United States. Some people have been even all their lives. I took away the ones, I took away from the sample, the ones who were born in the U.S. because I wanted to focus on the immigrants. Most of them do not speak English. They have very low English proficiency, and most of them are undocumented. Their occupations are, most of them is the construction industry, moving, gardening, painting, roofer, and their income is about $10,000, and they send a third of that income home to, they send it as remittance. So that's why they have a lot of problems surviving. And right now I know that in, especially in LA area, there are different sites that are specialized for different types of construction. A construction site is on one corner and gardening is another. So construction is now very low, but more people are finding jobs in gardening and moving. In terms of their health, they rate their health as poor, which is very surprising. Mostly as fair, about 30% they rate their health as fair, which is unusual for this type of group, because most men who are young, they will rate their health as very good and excellent. And then 40% rate their health as good. Just wanted to show about their health needs. A lot of them complain about rashes, problems with their skin, and 20% report having occupational injuries that were so severe that required medical attention. And this is a very high percent for construction workers, building workers in it. And then 24% reported having some chronic conditions, a combination of any of it. In general, they are very healthy. In terms of insurance coverage, believe it or not, some of them are insured, and 7% of them are insured, but most of them are uninsured. I just wanted to compare how the 7% compares to other group of immigrants. As you can see, Mexican immigrants have even higher percent of insurance compared to their laborers, and U.S.-born non-whites have even greater insurance compared to them. I wanted to talk about their usual source of care. Usual source of care is really important in access to care, because that ensures a continuity of care. And day laborers do not have a usual source of care. It's 50% do not. Just also compared to other groups, so you can see the disparity, the great need of all day laborers. In terms of those who have usual source of care, most of them, their usual source of care is the community clinic. So I wanted to note the importance of your community clinic. And again, I want to bring it back to policy. You know, the Affordable Care Act is going to be helping this population, because they are providing more funding for community clinics. And in terms of utilization of healthcare, most people think that day laborers just flood the ER, and that's not true. According to the research, it's only 12% that use ER. And this is very low compared to their health needs. In general, we asked them if they had a general checkup in the last 2 years. 55 said they did, but we do not understand if they truly capture what a true checkup means. Sometimes they just go and get their blood check at a health fair, and they say that they had a checkup. But so this is a kind of, we have to take that into account. But we don't know how they interpret it. This is the predictors of healthcare, of having a usual source of care. So you can see the impact of health insurance. You can see that it's almost 14, they are 14 times more likely, those who are insured, to have a usual source of care. But sometimes they have, even those who were insured, they didn't have a usual source of care among day laborers. So sometimes, you know, you see people who are insured, and they are, you ask them, where do you go for care? It's like, I don't even know who my doctor is. So that happens also with day laborers. The other thing I wanted to point out is that those who speak more English are twice as likely to have unusual source of care. The importance of having language proficiency is really important in here. And also those who live longer in the U.S. are twice as likely. I wanted to say again that the part that is very interesting in this population is the marriage. That usually marriage is a protective factor that helps with health, but you don't see that in this population. It's actually the opposite. You see that the end is one of the lower measurements. It means that people who are married are actually less likely to have a usual source of care, and we wonder why. And so what we were discovering is that most day laborers have their wives, they're married, but their wives are abroad. And so that protective factor does not help them. And so instead, when they're married, they're more worried about sending money to their families. So they don't want to leave the corner during business hours to go to a clinic or anything. So they are more likely to stay due to that obligation they have to send money. So that's their explanation for marriage not being a protective factor for them. And in terms of predicting those who use the emergency room, the predictors here are totally expected, that those who have chronic conditions, those who speak lower English, actually those who speak a little bit English, they have a little more, they are more likely to use the ER, and I think it's because they are more likely to communicate better with a health provider and they say you have to go. And then those, it's very interesting, I'm very cautious about this finding because those who are undocumented and injured are more likely to use the ER. And you know how statistics can be used, but I just wanted to put it in line that the use of emergency room is actually relatively low. But it is a pattern. Those who are undocumented or injured, they go to the emergency room, and sometimes it's because they go directly from the site. They send them to the emergency room. And then in terms of, this is one of my last ones, predictors of having a routine checkup. Again, having insurance is the top predictor. And having a usual source of care confirms again that those who have a usual source of care are more likely to have routine checkups. And chronic conditions again. I'm going to wrap it up. I just wanted to say in general that older laborers have limited access to health care, even those who are documented. Marriage is not a protective factor. Most of the time you see when you study classes on health, that's a typical relationship, but it doesn't happen with them. In general, those that are healthier seem to have greater access. In this sample, I didn't show all the statistics, but overall, their needs are being unmet. Their health needs are being unmet. I wanted to say also that I conducted a specific analysis with documented and undocumented. I just want to briefly say that documentation matters in access to care for this group. Both documented and undocumented received the same, reported the same amount of injuries at work, but they will go about differently how they find care for those injuries. So documented immigrants are more likely to go to a doctor, while undocumented are more likely to go to the ER. And in general, they have very low utilization. Some of the implications for this work is that the day laborer's health is at risk because they have high occupational injuries and limited access to healthcare. That combination is really making this population very vulnerable, more vulnerable than other populations. And then some of the risk factors can be preventable, which I wanted to say that some of the recommendations to prevent this that could be used using community health workers, they're called promotores, and they could teach health workers how to use protective service. They could teach them English, and in terms of how the labor said that they are in a construction site and they rely on their co-workers to understand the instructions. So they could teach them, some of the occupational English that might be helpful for their own health. And they could be reached because they are actually very social through churches, work centers. They have actually their own league, a soccer league in LA. They are organized. And some of the interventions could utilize that. In conclusion, I just wanted to say that compared to other underserved populations, day laborers have additional barriers that need to be noted. and that mostly laborers are insured. Immigrant laborers encounter cultural linguistic barriers that really have a big impact on their health, and they are not eligible for any government or insurance, like, you know, children, they have something, the laborers don't have any, and then they have the present occupational health needs.